Hey everyone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. Well, welcome everyone to episode 32. As always, we are going to continue on our Final Fantasy IX series, kind of playthrough, walkthrough, whatever you want to call it. Our little disclaimer we always put out because we are nearing the end here is episode 6, way back is when we started this. So if you want to kind of just begin the whole kind of Final Fantasy IX walkthrough from the start, that is the beginning. So last episode, we left off where, you know, Kuja was fleeing the desert.
Like forever ago.
You know, we are chasing him on the Blue Narcissus ship, and that's pretty much where we left off. So here we are, man. Last continent that we have pretty much yet to explore.
Yeah, exactly. And we finally get, like, the little intro where it puts the title up on the screen and everything. Of course, we mentioned a little bit before that you could have gotten here earlier, like before the story actually took you here. So we also talked about the chocographs that were here, I believe like Cold Field. So you could have gotten those earlier, or if you didn't get those earlier and you have those chocographs, there's some chocobo tracks that you can pick those up at.
Right.
There's also a friendly monster, right?
Yes, we do have the friendly monster. It's the Feather Circle. Keep in mind there are unfriendly Feather Circles around. But you'll know based on the music and what
exactly
it wants. It wants a moonstone. So if you do give it the moonstone, you will get 30 AP and a lapis lazuli or lazuli, whatever. You know, I mean, nothing great. It's of course that AP. Also keep in mind, if you don't really need the AP, like so for instance, my game, I was actually kind of, I don't really have a whole lot to master anymore.
Right.
Maybe leave this and don't do it because that's the main feature. Obviously, if you do them all, that's kind of a cool thing. But the main feature of these is that AP.
That's a really good point. Sometimes it's better to leave these until you have equipment that, you know, have abilities that have a really high AP requirement to learn those. Because, yeah, with these ones, they're really getting up there now where, you know, you've got 30 AP for this. So with ability up, that's 60 AP.
Right.
So sometimes it is better to leave those.
Yes. Yeah. So we actually have already been here. If you followed, we've already been to this place, but now the story has taken us to it. And that is Esto Gaza, right? So
Esto Gaza.
Here we go. Actually, it's changed. If you came here the first time, it was just kind of like, it was just a little town. You could talk to people, but nothing really was going on except for all that mithril stuff they sold.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I always love, like, the northern sort of climate, snowy areas in all the Final Fantasy games.
Yeah.
This place is so awesome. It has one of my favorite soundtracks in the whole game. I think it's just called Esto Gaza, but really cool and just, like, a really nice vibe to it and everything.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of...
Absolutely.
It's kind of like a peaceful theme almost, you know? Like, it's just the songs really... And here's the other thing that kind of sucks with this area, and this just happens other places too, is the soundtrack, like, might take a little bit to get going. So that's how this Esto Gaza one is, you know, it takes a little bit to build up, and yet the area is small, and so sometimes, you know, you kind of, like, have to make it an effort to just stick around for a little bit, so that way you can continue to hear the song and stuff like that, and so I agree. I really like it too. Super kind of just nice, peaceful area, snowy. Yeah. Except for you can't get into random encounters in the square.
And these ones are actually starting to get pretty serious. So here you can fight Garudas. I think either, you know, just one Garuda or in pairs of two.
Right.
And these guys kind of, they can hit pretty hard. They have Fire Raga. They can hit you up with Stop. So it's kind of that point in the game where those status immunity auto abilities, like, what is it, locomotion,
I
think, for Stop. You know, body temp is probably something that you're going to want to have equipped almost all the time. And antibody is just, we'll talk about that in a little bit here. But antibody, you almost just want to have on constantly because venom is starting to become a status that enemies are throwing out.
Yes.
So
that's the thing, right, is... kind of up to this point with abilities, you kind of just do whatever you want, but especially in the recent areas that we've gone through, it's just the status effects and just the really terrible, horrible status effects are starting to kind of pile up. And definitely, yes, definitely worth it to just kind of put those ones on so that way you just don't even have to worry about it. But once you do get inside, it's kind of interesting, it's kind of like a temple, so to speak. I mean, there is the holy dude. I forget what, I think his name is Bishop is what it is. And, it does look very sacred. And, it's all like, bright candles all over the place. Really cool. I do enjoy it. The dude is kind of a jerk, though, man. He really is.
Yeah, because, where we're at in the story, obviously, you guys all know. So Aiko just got kidnapped. We're chasing after Kuja. We're, like, trying to, catch up to him and save Aiko. And he's just, we're trying to figure out where they went. And he's just like, keep your voices down. This is a sacred place and stuff. It's like, Zidane's just losing his patience. And rightfully so at this point. I guess the whole thing with this place is it's sort of sacred for the reason that, and you can kind of get a little bit of backstory on this earlier if you came here before the story took you here, but it's sort of like, it's got a view of what they call the Shimmering Island, which is going to be a location later on that we'll go to, but they call it, it's basically, I guess, a place where, like, the souls pass from this life to the afterlife, essentially, something like that. So, that's kind of why this place is so sacred. We eventually get the information out of the bishop, right?
Yeah, it does a little cutscene, right, where it just shows all the black mages coming through. One of them is carrying Aiko, which the bishop does, relinquish that info. And we also see Kuja in it. And Vivi is, he's starting to still get pretty intense with the whole black mage thing. And so he makes it like he is making you take him with you. And so if you weren't using Vivi, like I wasn't, well, he's with you now. And so, you do have to use him. Not a big deal. I mean, he's a great character, but it's just kind of like, sometimes he does make it a little too easy.
Yeah. Well, he'll be a really OP character if you get a certain weapon coming up here. Yeah. But on that note, too, you were talking about how the bishop was kind of a jerk. There's a really funny part in that scene, right, where Kuja walks in. And he basically just walks right up to the bishop and then makes the bishop, like, stand aside.
So yeah, bishop's like, oh, I got something on my jacket, sweeping it off.
Right? I just thought that was funny because he totally, like, Kuji goes out of his way to make a move just strong to assert his power.
Yeah.
Anyways, after you get that scene and that little segment there, go off to the right, over to where the shop we talked about earlier, but this time it's got a whole new set of equipment.
Oh, yes.
And man, this is like, this is seriously the point in the game where, things are incredibly expensive, but we'll do our best to try and go over some of the most important things here.
Yeah, well, I guess starting off, are any of these missable? I mean, we're kind of getting to the end, right? Where shops are kind of just going to be what they are. Do we know if any of these are just going to disappear eventually?
Yeah, Octagon Rod, I think a lot of them will, but I think the final place to buy them, for example, like the Zorlin Shape is a new dagger for Zidane.
Right.
The final place to buy that is going to be a future place that we're going to go to. I don't want to spoil it, but there is one other opportunity to get these. But once you get to Disc 4, these all become missable, I'm pretty sure, for the most part.
Try to make it a point to get them now if you can or as soon as possible. And yeah, so on that point, like Alex just said, it is a lot of items. They are starting to cost a lot. And so, I don't know. You could have Kina. You can toss on Millionaire and go do some fights.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's probably going to be the best way because even selling all those ethers it's not going to even come close to what you'll need for this. So I'll go instead of start us off. There's a couple of new weapons. You did mention the Zorlin shape, and dude, what's with the ability? Honestly, what the heck?
I totally forgot about this when we're doing the notes for this. We're looking it up just to refresh our memories on the abilities or if we played through it. But there's so many different things. Anyways, Zorlin shape, flee.
And that's it.
So that's the only ability. So really, Zorlin shape, I believe, I think it's used in a synthesis
It
item in
must be,
Discord.
yeah.
So pick it up for that. But again, they're like 6,000 gil. They're super expensive.
Yes.
So if you can get it, but you will have another opportunity. The main one that you do want to get here for real though, since Vivi is mandatory,
Yeah.
get the Octagon Rod. Even if you only get one item, get the Octagon Rod because not only does it have Fire Aga, Blizzaga, and Thundaga, but something that's going to be really, really important coming up here.
Yes, kind of an added bonus to the staff itself or the rod,
Right.
whatever. Yeah, and to that note, I mean, that's even if you do have all the better staffs, you know, or rods, like this, you do want those tier three magics, especially in this place. And so that's a really good one. The what is it, Hamelin or Hamelin or something? It's another
Yeah.
flute, pretty good. It does have Curaga, so that, I mean, that's the strongest healing spell there. So that's really cool. And some other different ones. So, I mean, again, kind of honestly, I would just kind of prioritize whatever characters you're using right now.
Exactly.
And
Yeah,
then, you know,
don't.
unless you got the money, I mean, go for it. But Flame Saber is just another, you know, nice little sword for Steiner. Just, you know, you'll kind of, you got all the element ones now, right? You got the ice, thunder, and fire now. So Heavy Lance is a new spear.
Yeah.
And six dragons is the
Oh,
ability. I
man.
didn't know all this stuff, man. What
This is
is that
weird.
ability?
Yeah, so Six Dragons is always such a strange ability. So I had to look this one up because it does some really strange things. If you use it, you'll probably be extremely confused as to what happened. So basically, it has a certain percentage chance, I think somewhere between 10 to 20% of doing. It's either going to restore your party's HP, MP, or HP and MP. And here's the kicker. Or it has a chance of reducing HP to 1, MP to 1, or HP and NP to 1. So,
Gosh,
again, like, yeah, this
gambling.
is the problem with Freya. It's just not a reliably useful skill, unfortunately, and it's too dangerous to use.
You're really rolling the dice here. You know,
Yeah.
you can either restore everyone to full or reduce everyone to one. You know, it's like, oh gosh,
Right.
that'd be so scary.
And the
So
chances aren't that low. It's like 15% chance that some of your party members are going to be at 1 HP,
Well,
1
yeah, and it's Final
MP.
Fantasy, that so that makes it instantly at least 90% chance that that's gonna happen. And so,
Right. Good old
yeah.
RNG.
Yeah, RNG's never on your side, no matter what the percentage is. And so another thing is we got Scissor Fangs for what's Amaranth? There you go. And
Amaranth, yeah.
pretty good. I mean, so I have the Kaiser
Oh, man.
Knuckles. I am planning on buying this. I didn't just because I knew he was gonna be the heavy hitter, but it does have
Uh-huh.
Aura on it, which oof. I
Yeah.
mean that's good. Auto life and regen. I mean that's a really good ability.
Yeah, this is exactly why. I mean, I didn't use to when I was a kid playing this game. I don't think I ever used Amaranth as a party member, but
Right.
now it's like I'm starting to realize, Amaranth is really actually an incredibly good party member because
He is.
again, like the support, I mean, that kind of an ability is really useful. And then with throw, with chakra, he's pretty dang good,
Yeah,
but
he's got some good stuff.
you also got the Ashura's Rod, which isn't very good. It's just got mini confuse and silence. This is for Dagger, by the way.
Right.
And then you add to the fact that, to be honest, I'm still not using Dagger because of
No.
her concentration issues, so still kind
Yeah,
of
so yeah, I might want to leave that one for a little later,
yeah.
especially.
Definitely pick up some power vests. It's a new clothing armor for like Amaranth and
Yeah, the leather.
Zidane and all those guys. It doesn't really have any great abilities, but it'll increase your strength. Red hat, maybe get like one of those. And another really cool item if you are using Amaranth, Wing Edge is finally for sale. And it's really powerful throw items.
Yeah, so maybe get a couple of those. I mean, depends on what your party is, but you do have a power vest, might want to get another one just because, yeah, I mean, they really does boost strength.
They're pretty
And
dang good, yeah.
yeah. And yeah, so that's the items. We always got to slug through that, especially when they give us a whole lot at one time, like they did right now. But we will move on right after we do our bold move. All right, man, go ahead and start us off.
All right, so going back to Final Fantasy VIII on this one. You know, with that story, it's kind of interesting because there's a lot of things that get revealed later on that you didn't know at the time, right?
Yes.
So, at the very beginning of the game, when you get sent off by Cid and Garden to go assassinate, well, I mean, you later get the mission to assassinate Sorceress Adia.
Right.
And, you know, it's just so interesting how later on in the story you find out that Cid is still married to Sorceress
They're
Adia.
separated, okay?
Okay, yeah. So then it's fine to assassinate her. I
That makes
got
it
it.
okay.
Yeah, it's just crazy. It's like, man, that is bold, dude. You couldn't talk it out or anything? You just
Nope.
had to go ahead and, you know, hire some people to go kill her. Okay.
Pull the trigger, Irvine. Take her out. I need that. I need that life. that life insurance money.
Yeah, for real. It's like insurance fraud or something.
Oh man, yeah,
But
that
you
is pretty
got it.
rough. Yeah, you do learn that. It's
Yeah.
like, dang, dude, you just trying to have your wife assassinated. What's going on with that?
Savage.
Oh man. All right. Well, mine also goes to a Cid from Final Fantasy IX. You know, this might be cheating a little bit, but we literally just talked about how, you know, we're in Desert Palace and Cid's a frog. So it was a pretty bold move for him to step up against Zorn and Thorn as a frog. You know, I
Hey,
mean,
yeah, that's a
granted, he
good
was trying to
point.
save Iko. I get that. But dude, you're a frog, man. You know, we can't. Come on, they squished you instantly, as they should. That was a bold
Yeah.
move.
Even after his pitiful attempt at the hedgehog pie game thing, so you know, he's trying, he does his best.
He got too much courage from grabbing that key from a caged animal. You
I
know, it's
know,
like,
then
come on, man.
he was full of it.
All right, well, those are our bold moves, and let's continue on with Final Fantasy IX. So once you do get all those items or, you know, whatever you can afford, unless you're just going to go back out to get a little bit more gil, pretty much there's
Yeah.
nothing else to do here. So you do need to go ahead, I think it's north, head on up, and you will get to the next screen. Nice song still playing, it's awesome. And we got Mogrika the Moogle, so she is here. If you talk to her and go to Mognet, she herself received a letter from none other than Artemisian. And,
Yeah.
you know, if you do read all these letters and stuff, they really start, or they're all basically kind of talking now about Mog Central. And what the heck is
Yeah.
going on? No one's getting their mail. You know, this one's pretty funny because
Yeah.
he's talking about he's used too much of it on himself. And
Yeah,
hey, I know you've used some on it yourself too, you know, kind of a deal. You still don't know what this is, right? They haven't actually named this substance. I mean, we know what it is,
right.
obviously, but they haven't named it. So it's just kind of a funny little thing that's going on right now.
Yeah, exactly. Like ever since Alexandria at the start of Disc 3, we saw Artemision for the first time,
Yeah.
and it's like the most beautiful Moogle ever or whatever, right? And so, you know, there's some like beauty product or something like they've
Something
been
going on.
using. Yeah, so it is funny that you mentioned that we haven't uncovered Mognet Central yet and gone over
Yes.
that, but it does talk about all that stuff. Then on top of that, so after you read that, she will give you a letter to deliver to Mulan.
Yep.
And
So
so
that's the only one you got is Mogrika de Moulin. And once again, we're kind of just being funneled to the right. So you go down that path and you go into Mount Gulag, which we know is like it says it's like a deactivated volcano or whatever, or something like that.
Yeah,
And
it's something like so the story behind Mount Gulag is apparently there was basically a race of like moles or mole people or something like that went
yeah.
extinct, and it was sealed a long time ago that, you know, they don't know when. And basically what's interesting about this is we finally understand what the Gulag stone was for that we went and got from Eelvert
Right.
for Kuja. So it's kind of interesting because it's like this whole different area. You don't really get, like, the story doesn't give you a whole lot of backstory. I
It
think you have to
doesn't.
talk to the bishop to find out a lot of that stuff.
Well, right. Actually, that's a good point because, yeah, it's from what we know and what we'll, you know, discuss going forward, the stone actually, like, we never hear about it again. It's never used. So clearly, Kuja just needed that stone in order to open up the volcano
Yeah.
or this area.
But also an awesome soundtrack here, right?
Yep,
Bam,
another
bam,
one.
beep, boom, bam, bam, beep, boom, bam.
Yeah, seriously.
Can't do
Yeah.
it, but you know, it's sick. And so, yeah, another thing about this place that's kind of interesting, I didn't know this because me and Mark, we haven't really played a lot of the older Final Fantasies, but apparently this is kind of a throwback. The name of this place is kind of a throwback to Gurgu Volcano from Final Fantasy One. We might have mentioned before that this game has a lot of elements from previous Final Fantasies, and it's sort of like a little bit of a revival of the series and things after 7 and 8, but just some interesting points with that, that they kind of brought back a lot of elements, they brought back a lot of locations with different names and things like that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, well, we're in this place. Let's go ahead. Let's get the encounters out of the way. Kind of an interesting is that, we know that again, the race of moles or whatever the heck. I mean, I'm just very curious of what they would look like in this game, but it doesn't matter. There are like houses in here. It's kind of like a giant mine shaft almost, if you're thinking about it like that, or an empty volcano, I guess that works too. And you will get into different battles depending if you're inside or outside the houses, which it's kind of interesting. I guess it's kind of like, if you're on the dirt or snow or woods out in the world, it's kind of just different encounters.
Exactly. And these are some really nasty encounters, I'm telling you. Like inside the houses, typically you're going to be fighting this like worm hydra thing, which is just this really freaky. How would you explain that? I'm not
I
even going to
don't
try to
know.
explain it. Anyways, the enemy though, he can use, I think it's venom breath or something like that. And we haven't talked about venom because I think this is the first time, other than the Grand Dragon, which is kind of an optional battle that you can have, that we've seen the status Venom. Venom is a really nasty one because it basically takes your whatever character's afflicted with it completely out of commission. They're basically under stop. On top of that, it periodically drains their health and MP. So it is gnarly. Definitely have antibody equipped. But if you have Kena, you can eat it for bad breath if you didn't get that earlier.
Yeah, another
So.
opportunity to do that. And then, on the outside, we got some more of the Vespals or whatever. You probably encountered them on the world map on the Lost Continent, but they're not so bad. You just gotta make sure that, you gotta watch out for freeze with them. And then there's just Grenade and Wraiths, which
The wraiths are
that's
like
right.
they're kind of a rarer encounter, and there's two different types of them. They'll have like they're like these floating ghost guys, and they'll have a candle. And basically how this works is occasionally they'll use a move, I think it's called candle or something like that, but if it's the red one, it's going to inflict heat. If it's the blue one, it's going to inflict frost. And I believe it's the blue one, if you want frost, which is the one blue magic that we haven't talked about with Kena, that's the one that you want to eat for that. I think the red one, you can get mustard
Mustard
bomb if you
bomb,
haven't
yeah.
gotten that one.
It's like the different colors and they use different magics and stuff, but regardless, let's get through it. So, I kind of, upper section, lower section. Hey, you do go down a small little bit of rope at some point. So, right off the bat, if you do go left into the house, well, if you need some money, most likely you do after buying those items, you will get a nice little hefty amount, about 9,600 gil, so that's pretty cool. It's just in the corner.
I just don't get like the random number they come up. It's
I don't
literally
know.
9693. I don't
You
get
couldn't do
that, but
10,000, I mean,
yeah. They're just used a random number
round it up.
generator or something. They're like, nope, it has to be exactly this number,
Has to
but
be, yeah.
yeah.
No, but if you do climb the ladder, there's a ladder on the inside of that house, and then you kind of just follow it, take another ladder kind of deal. There's a red hat. It's not in a treasure chest, it's just in the corner as well. So, you probably should still have bought one, so that way you at least have two. But regardless, once you get that stuff, kind of just go back to the entrance. And this is where things like it's just, again, it's just really hard to describe some of these areas, without seeing it and all that stuff. And essentially, we want to get down the rope in the well. There's a well, you want to go all the way down the rope, and there's kind of just stuff that you have to do around it. So before you do head down the rope, you need to work your way to the right. There is a golden hairpin down one of the, you know, kind of side paths. So if you want to grab that, go ahead. And then at that point, go ahead and go down the rope in the well. You'll get down to what I'm calling the lower section. We need to go lower, but there's a lever. And so it's kind of like you don't know really what to do.
It's
so,
like there's three tiers to this place.
Yeah.
And a lot of what we're saying too, when we're saying like, go right and go left, you're either going into these little houses or you're kind of on like the scaffolding kind of thing. So,
yeah.
But in general, yeah, there's just this central area where there's, like what Mark was saying, the well with the rope. And so, yeah, now that we're here, we're on sort of the middle layer, the second layer. Just go to the right, and I believe you go into a little house, and you'll find Mulan the Moogle. And so now you can deliver that letter from Magrika, and you can also pick up another one from Mulan to Magtaka.
Magtaka, yeah. So quick delivery, and you get another one here, and so... It once again, they're still just talking about Magnet. It's hilarious, but
yeah,
get another one. Nothing really else to do. Part. So go ahead, exit the room via the right door, and you kind of just have to explore this. So there's like kind of a ramp and a house there too, and there's even if you go kind of like all the way to the right, there's some scaffolding. And there's like a note talking about levers, and so.
Yeah,
those are going to be kind of around to kind of give you the true clue as to how you maneuver this lever to get all the way down.
And it's funny because it even has like their name where it's like, you know, something the mole or whatever.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, it's like they're extinct and yet, you know, their pieces of paper are still scattered around. You
know? I know,
meanwhile,
right?
There's no skeletons or whatever. But regardless... Yeah. Once you do kind of go up that area, I think there's like a treasure too. It's nothing, maybe just another ween edge, I think. Head back to where Mulan is. Here's a little surprise, right? There's a little roar, and a dragon just like flies onto the top of that house, and it is a battle with two of them. So, oof. If you're not prepared, man,
dragons
this can be very frustrating.
Yeah, these are some seriously tough battles. So like Mark said, these are kind of interesting in that they're not random. They're completely like, you do a specific thing, like you go and get that treasure, and then on your way back, you're always going to get this random, or not random encounter, this battle.
Yeah.
Yeah, these guys are seriously tough. We mentioned earlier, to get the Octagon Rod, there's a good reason for this. They like to use Twister a lot. And the nice thing about Twister is it absorbs wind.
Or it is wind-based, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so Octagon is what absorbs wind. So yeah, Twister, wind-based attack. And I think it even has like another one. I'm forgetting what it is. It's kind of like another...
Aerial Slash.
Yeah, it's like another area of effect one where it hits like one character and then like hits the other kind of... couple near them or whatever, but Octagon Rod absorbs it, which is very handy because especially if you haven't been using VV, mine he only had like 800 health, and so absorbing 700, which it's like, oh my gosh, he would have just been dying all the time.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Like, we gotta talk about this. What is up with Twister's damage formula?
It's very really random, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll do like, maybe 500-700 to one person. It'll do like 2,000 to another person, just wipe them out. So
that would be we gotta actually look into that, because that'd be interesting to see if it's like just a set number of damage that distributes among all the characters, or if it just is random per character, because
there's
sometimes
some
where it'll hit and it'll only do like maybe 200 to someone, and then it'll just totally take out Amaranth, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it seems like the more HP you have, the more damage potential it has, so maybe it's like HP based or something. But I mean, aside from Twister, that's kind of these guys' biggest attack, because like Mark said, they've got Aerial Slash, which isn't that big of a deal because it's pretty consistent. It doesn't do a huge... It's not that variable. And then they've got like a...
I think it's Ween Attack or something like...
That just does physical damage. But they also have a decent amount of HP. I think they're...
I think it's about 8,000, I think is what it is.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's a lot.
It's quite a bit, And so... And you can eat them if you have Kena for Twister. I would just skip this first one, Or at the very least, just focus on one, because you will get in a battle here pretty soon with just one of them. And so that would definitely be the easier one to kind of get
pretty,
them.
Pretty risky to go for that. So,
yeah, I mean, when they're just popping off twisters right and left, two of them, it's not very great to have to sit there and try to just, you know, whittle one down slowly. And so if you do survive that, congratulations. No, but kind of just head on back. You're backtracking, right? So again, we want to go back to Mulan and to the well, and now you can just go left. So you go left, there's another house, there's a demon's mail, which now at this point it's like, who cares, man, I got them. And and that's really it. Just head in the house, get that, and then pop back out and head north. And another Moogle, it's Mog Taka. Yeah. Man, what is this? The first, like, I don't know, it's 2/3 of the game we've held on to letters for like hours and hours and hours, and now our deliveries are literally like down and around the corner, you know? It's like, just, come on, man, seriously, you can't do this yourself?
Yeah, just like sequentially one after the other. When we had that part in the middle of the game where we were holding on to, I think, like Fossil Rue to Black Man Village,
yeah,
we had like three letters or something. We were holding on to that one from Fossil Rue forever.
Yeah,
it is kind of funny the way that works. And then on top of that, too, what are they doing in here? I mean, there's nobody here. They've been locked in this place forever, so they haven't been able to deliver their letter. But they're delivering it to, like, each other, so they couldn't have just gone and talked to each other.
Yeah, no, so deliver that letter from Mulan, and you don't get anything new from Mog Taka. So there's that. Mog Taka does have a Mog store, though, a Mog shop. It's just items, and it's actually nothing really great, and, you know, as I say that, you might, if you're at this point, you might want to head back into Esogaza and get some vaccines, by the way.
Yeah, good call.
You you cannot buy them from Mog Taka, does not have them, so we forgot to mention that. Stock up on some vaccines if you do not have any.
Yeah, we talked about vaccines the first time, I think, before we got to Eelvert. I noted that it's a new thing, and if you were playing for the first time, you might not take notice because you haven't seen the status yet, but that's a good fair warning. Grab some of those now.
So. Yes. And we will continue down the volcano, but let's do our seed trivia first. Alex is on another bit of a roll here. He's on his rank 27 seed trivia quiz. I think you're gonna like this one, man. I got a pretty good mixture of questions that are, you know, I don't know, they might not be so easy, but they're pretty interesting. So we're gonna go ahead and just start it right off in Final Fantasy IX. The description for judo uniform is clothes from a foreign land.
True. I remember looking at that.
Final Fantasy 12. After you have raised your party's average level above 50, you unlock the Pinello Sky Pirate figurine in the Sky Pirate's den.
True.
Final Fantasy 7. The cost to stay at the Ghost Hotel in the Gold Saucer is 15 GP.
Yeah, I know it's GP. 15 sounds about right, true.
Okay, our next one is in Final Fantasy 13. Not even write this down. I think it's the Sanctum, right? The Sanctum Falci that branded the party is Kujata.
False.
Final Fantasy 8. Now, without card mod, right? So discard card mod. Water is the strongest magic pre-Ifrit.
True.
All right. Final Fantasy 10-2. You're gonna have to think about this one, man. Waka is gonna be a father soon, you know? Gotta pull it together, yeah?
Oh, man. True. Gotta pull it together, yeah?
Gotta pull it together, yeah? All right, man. Our last question, Final Fantasy 10. If you are feeling rich, you can bribe Ultima Weapon for 1.4 million gil and get 99 pendulums.
True.
All right, let's recap this. First question was Final Fantasy IX in the judo uniform's description as clothes from a foreign land. You say true, it is true. They are clothes from a foreign land. Just
simple description.
Yes, it was pretty, I found it entertaining. All right, Final Fantasy 12 was the whole raising the party's average level above 50, and then you unlock the Pinello Sky Pirate little figure.
Mm-hmm.
You said true, and it's false. It is Ash. You get Ash as the figure.
Which one was Pinello?
Dude, I got no idea. There's like 30 of them.
Okay, I'll have to go back. Yeah, seriously.
That dent is packed when you get it filled. It's like, geez, man, you guys need to spread out. All right, Final Fantasy VII, the cost to stay at the Ghost Hotel is 15 GP. You said true, and it's false. It's only 5 GP. Oh,
what?
It cost you 5.
Man.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's the same to save at the save point.
Yep.
Anyways.
All right, Final Fantasy XIII, the Sanctum Falsi that branded the party is Kujata. You said false. And it's true. It is named Kujata.
What?
Yeah.
I thought it was Anima.
No, I mean, I looked it up, man.
Okay.
Sanctum Falsi, that branded them when they were, you know, in that very beginning. Kujata.
Yeah.
Don't hold me to it. I mean, I literally looked it up, but, you know.
It's all good.
We'll see. All right, so you missed three, it's man. Good. Can't miss another one.
Dang.
All right. Final Fantasy VIII. So, not caring about card mod, rather. Water is the strongest magic pre-Ifrit. You said true. I think it's true also. I mean, I can't think of anything else that would be stronger than that.
And
at
you
that
said
point.
Without using card mod,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so no card mod. And just basically what you got right there. There's a couple draw points you can get in Balam, right? But I think water's, I think water's best. And so,
yeah, I'm pretty sure.
All right, you got that right. Final Fantasy X-2, Waka is gonna be a father soon, you know?
Yeah.
Gotta pull it together, yeah? You said true, it is true. He is going to be a father soon, and he does need to pull it together.
Yeah, and I got to point out, too, how funny there's a part in there where Riku's like, that's right, Tubby. And then he's still got, like, a six-pack, though.
I know, right? Final Fantasy X was our last question. If you bribe Ultima Weapon for 1.4 million gil, you'll get 99 pendulums. You said true, and it is true.
Yes.
What a... Man... That's a lot of gil in a game
exactly.
That is not easy to get gil, but
not for real.
But you did it, man. You only missed three, maybe two can fall, you know, pending that false C thing. But regardless, you passed the rank 27 quiz. I'm trying to branch out, man. Trying to get some interesting questions. So.
Oh, you totally got me on the GP one. I really thought that was 15, but yeah.
Five. Alright, man, congrats, good job, and let's go ahead and finish out the Mount Gulag. Essentially, you know, we just left off before going to see trivia, where we are at Magtaka, the Moogle. And if you kind of just, again, move forward, there's only one way at this point, I think it's inside a house, you will get that one red dragon battle that I alluded to. And so now would be a great time if you want to try to eat it, to eat it. Again, about 8,000 health. So that kind of should give you a little bit of an idea of what you need to bring it down to. But regardless, one is much easier than the two.
Yeah, and this one kind of sometimes it make you jump a little bit. It just busts through the wall. Like you have, that's what's interesting about these ones is you have no idea. You're just running around and then all of a sudden these guys are like flying down on the roofs.
Yeah.
They're busting through the walls. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, they got used to it after eating all those moles, man. You know, and so
I guess
died. There is, once you defeat it, there is an elixir in that room as well. I think you just kind of search one of the far corners. And that's... That's kind of it, right? So, like, do you have to do all of those red dragon battles in order to continue on, or can you just go straight to the lever and do it?
Pretty sure you can go straight to the lever and just head on with the story, but...
I think the benefit for the battles, right, going to these areas is the notes, right, that kind of give you the idea of how to flip the lever. So, all of that walkthrough right there just to say... If you want to go to the lever, go ahead, backtrack to the wall, flip it down three times, and you're good to go.
I know, it's really weird, because like I remember the first couple times I played this, I never even read the notes, and I think I just guessed flip down, because that's like the logical thing, right? You're trying to head down, so but you have like, I think, flip up, flip down.
Yes.
But yeah, basically, Like what you said, you just flip it down three times and then it drops the bucket, and then you can slide down the rope all the way to the bottom.
Yep. Some more red dragons will bust through the wall. So again,
Yeah, you have.
might want
Yeah.
to, you know, just get a fresh pair of underpants because you probably pooped yourself as they came on through. But here you go,
It's
two
weird.
more.
Yeah, and it's weird too because I don't know if you've had this, but you kind of. It takes a minute. You get
It
down there
does.
and there's no way out, and then you're running around, and then all of a sudden it's like. Poof, it's
Yeah.
like, all right, more red dragons. And like
That's.
what we talked about earlier, honestly, if your team gets wiped out with Twister, don't even bother reviving them. Vivi can pretty much solo these battles.
Well, yeah, I
If
mean,
he's in the
it's
back row,
they
like
will
he's
use
good.
Twister, they
Yeah.
and it will heal them almost instantly. And Blazaga, I think, does like it's like 3 to 4,000 to them. So I mean, he will
And
decimate them.
he's got drain. He's
Yeah,
got
that too.
Osmos. He's like a one man. This is the point in the game where he's just like a one man wrecking machine.
Yeah. It's like, darn, they forced me to take him. Shucks, man.
I know. I
So
mean, it would be a problem if you didn't get Octagon Rod, but like, why
that's
wouldn't
true.
you? I mean, honestly.
Yeah. Well, and it's brand new and it has all those magic, so I was thinking
Right,
everyone buys it
yeah.
and gets excited. So, but regardless, once you do defeat those two dragons, that's the last of them. You don't have to fight them anymore. And instead, if you head on out, you will see Iko. And she's down there, and
Oh
Zorn and
man.
Thorn are circling her. And they're trying to do the
Yeah.
extraction process. So I guess that has to beg the question, man. Like, so did they have to come here in order to do this extraction little ceremony thing?
I think they did because it's they have to be in like a certain area, I guess, to be able to do that, right? Like if we
Yeah.
think back when they were doing it in
Alexandria.
Just two in Alexandria, same thing with Dagger, and they were kind of in that little like shrine area.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
That's a
that's
good
true. And that, like,
question.
kind of the stone on the bottom looked the same kind of a deal. And so
Exactly.
you
Yeah,
do need to kind of just do some piecing together yourself there because it really doesn't fill it in too much. And so,
that's a good question, though.
yeah. And you know, so there's some story here. Basically, you know, just to kind of fill it in, Zorn and Thorn fail. They're like, you know, we can't actually do this because she's not 16 yet. And Kuja's like, dude, I don't care. Kill her if you have to. And
Dang,
I know he's like, I mean,
Kuja.
come on, man. You're gonna kill children now? I guess he already has in Alexandria. He doesn't really care how much blood's on his hands at this point. But we do
That's
find
right,
out
yeah.
Mog pops out and starts to go into a trance is what actually is filled into us right after this. And here you go. So you get into a battle with Iko versus Zorn and Thorn, and it's just a complete automatic thing. It just happens. You
Yeah.
know, Mog tells her to summon Terra Homing, and so you'll do it. And dude, I mean, it's an insane summon. It's like,
I
okay,
love it.
it's like some, it actually looks like Griever from Final Fantasy VIII.
Yeah,
And
seriously.
like, I don't even want to describe it, but basically he just decimates them, kills them instantly. Not hard to
Like
do. It's
a.
Zorn and Thorn.
It's almost like Supernova animation from Final Fantasy VII. It like takes you to
Yeah.
space and then he sets up like this force field thing, just destroying everything, plummets them into it. Yeah, it's a crazy animation, is what we're trying to say, but. One thing that I always find kind of funny about this is let's suppose for a second that this wasn't an automatic battle. How would that play out with one character and two of them? Because we know what they do. Like you wouldn't be able to attack both of them. They'd kill her.
Yeah.
Kind of
Well,
interesting, right?
maybe if you got Tiger Racket, I think she would just
Oh
kick their
yeah.
butts. But
You could also just continuously summon, I guess, if you had a way
yeah.
to attack both of them at the same time to neutralize power, but just something I always thought about.
Yeah, that is actually kind of interesting thought. Regardless, it is automatic and you will just kill them and you get ribbon after that, so that's pretty cool. It's not as exciting as ribbon is in most other Final Fantasies, but
Yeah,
hey, still.
unfortunately not.
Yeah.
Be nice if it made you immune to everything,
Oh
but
gosh, that'd be fantastic, but
can't be that lucky. And then this is
nope.
also when Kuja comes in and he basically was like, what the heck happened? Oh, that Moogle went into a trance, you know?
Yeah, so that kind of reminds me to fill in a little bit more, right? Kuja wants to extract the Eidolons from Iko to basically fight Garland, right? We know that Garland kind of just diminished his hopes. He killed Alexander rather. Kuja wants to get back. I don't want an Eidolon. And this is kind of now, he's more focused now on trance. He's figuring out, he's like, oh, so that's what trance is. It's this and that. And he basically just kind of talks about how he just needs a powerful soul, even if it's not mine. And, oh, I can go there to get it. Very obscure, and, you know, as very usual. Cryptic. And so
That's
what happens there. Of course, Zidane, everyone comes down. Kuja's not very excited. He's, you know, that he's doing his monologue there. And they're like, dude, what are you doing, man? Stop just talking to yourself all the time.
He's always scheming.
Yep. And then he goes ahead and leaves, and but you know, does a little something to the little court jesters on the ground.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy because he even says, he's like, oh, well, you know, they pretty much served their purpose. Of course, they're not even twins after all. And you're like, what the heck are you talking about? And so, yeah, they kind of like reanimate and do this creepy, like, they like reanimate kinda and like then merge. Yeah. And so you end up fighting this incredibly weird looking...
Dude, it's grotesque, man.
It is. Yeah, it's basically the two of them merged into some creature. And this is always just super interesting to me. Like, so apparently this is what they really were the whole time, I guess. They weren't really, like, actual...
Two separate things, or...?
Well, sort of. I mean, but they weren't really beings. They were actually sort of created for this, and they were pretty much monsters the whole time.
Yeah.
Or do you think he reanimated them that way? I don't know. It's something I've always wondered about. What the heck?
Like you said, that Kuja mentions like how they're not twins after all, and it's kind of like, yeah, it's like, exactly. What does that even mean? Like, so okay, are they like black mages? Like, what exactly are these guys? But
yeah, and they sort of showed up at the same time that he did and started deceiving Baron. So it's really interesting when you think about it. Like, he was sort of their pawns to begin with.
Yeah. Well, regardless, here you go. Boss battle time. What is it? Melty Gemini, I guess, is what they're called. And
Melty Gemini.
Or Gemini. I don't really know. But regardless, right before this battle happens, Vivi chases after Kuja. And Aiko stays. So essentially, Vivi's gone. Aiko's in the party now to fill in that spot. Which kind of sucks, actually.
Does because you don't have a chance to equip her or anything before this fight.
No, you don't. So
really, when you think about it, if you knew everything that was going to happen, the last time you have to really equip her is back at the Desert Palace, which is kind of crazy.
Which is kind of funny because we recommended taking all the really good stuff off her if you plan on using it. So if you did do that, she doesn't actually have hardly anything on. And so,
good point. We didn't want to spoil it.
No. So, joke's on you. Gotcha. No,
Yeah.
Kind of right off the bat here, Ubigo steals. It is unfortunately nothing too amazing. You can't get 100% vaccine, so you can at least have one if you've never bought one or got another one before. And a golden hairpin. I mean, that's okay. The vaccine's 100%, golden hairpin's 25. But the cool thing, which is new if you are lucky enough to get it, is Demon's Vest. Not to be, you know, confused with Demon's Mail. Completely different and better item. But it's a 0.39% chance. We always have those super incredibly rare steals now on every boss.
Yeah, exactly. Crazy. But this is a pretty tough battle. And this guy, we talked about the vaccines. The reason why.
Yes.
He starts off the battle right off the bat with a move called Viral Smoke. This inflicts a virus on the party. And basically, it's not really the end of the world. But what it does is it disables experience and AP gains. So, unfortunately, if you do finish the battle with virus on your characters, they won't get anything. Yeah. An annoying thing about this status, too, is it actually lasts from battle to battle. So even if you don't use a vaccine after the battle and go into the next one, they'll still have virus.
Yeah. Kind of that's a catch-22. Maybe if you really just don't care, then I wouldn't even waste the turns trying to get rid of it, you know? And so just leave it on if you want.
Yeah, because he'll use it again over time, too, so...
Yeah, exactly, and it's on the whole party, and so... Kind of sucks. He does use Bio, and it's actually pretty strong. It did one-shot Aiko in my game a couple times. She only had, like, mid-700s health, so, you know, she probably is a little underdeveloped. You know, she was getting one-shot by that. Weens was another ability they used that was also one-shotting her, and so...
That is actually a really strong move. I mean, that tends to go critical a lot. And on Zidane, it can do like 2,000 damage. So he's actually pretty dang strong. And then to add insult to injury, he's also got Venom Powder, which inflicts Venom on the party, which is really not very nice.
No, because if you don't have antibody and, you know, a few of them get hit, again, it's that stop thing. It's the drain thing. It sucks. You know, it's just not fun.
And actually... I forgot to mention. So, like Stop, if your whole party or the only surviving, the only alive members of your party are hit with venom, it's a game over. So, that's another
Yeah.
reason why it's a big deal.
Yes. And he does have a hefty amount of health. I think it's around like 24,000 or something like that. So, regardless, if you do go ahead, take him out. Congrats. There you go. It's awesome. And, well, once again, Kujar's ran away. I feel like we're just playing cat and mouse with him this entire video game. And so, that's
Just
fun. We'll
run
have to
away.
chase him again. And, he took the airship with him at that. One little thing, though, there is a room right after that, and someone's like, "Hey, is someone out there?" And you go in,
Yeah, what's
and it's
going
none other than Hilda. And it's like, of course, the Dane doesn't know
on?
who she is, which is interesting because he's from
Yeah.
Wimblum, and it's like you didn't know her. But anyways,
No.
Dagger comes in, they recognize each other, find out that she is Hilda. She essentially just says, like, "I'll go back with you," kind of a deal. Thanks for coming here. He treated. Although
Yeah.
he was a raving lunatic and he liked to talk to himself a lot, he treated her kindly, kind of a deal. And so, at least he was respectful to a woman. And so, not to little girls, but to women, and Hilda specifically, I guess.
Yeah, which, I mean, what the heck? Like, she was just chilling in this room, and you can see too, it's really funny because there's like a bed set up and everything. So she's literally just like living in this dark cave, like
Well,
volcano room or
yeah.
something.
Like,
I don't
so did
understand.
she come with them? Was she with him all along, Kuja? Because how did she get there? And if this whole place was sealed by
That's a
this
good question.
stone that we had to get from Ulvert, and all that, like, how did she get there to begin
Point.
with? And it's
Yeah,
very, I don't think they thought this through when they wrote this section,
No, because how did she move in? There's a bed in there and everything. Like I
Yeah.
said, it's like,
It's very,
so
very
she moved
homey.
in real quick, you know? Yeah, I mean, you can tell, like, anybody who plays a game, seriously, like, take notice of, like, how it's like a room.
Yeah.
So how long has she been there? I don't know.
Well, regardless, the magical Hilda just has a home here, apparently, at the bottom of a volcano, and Kuja just happened to be there as well at the same time. And so, it's all very convenient. So once after this scene plays out, you will just be popped back into Limblom. And it actually, funny thing is, right before that, Cid does come in. It's like, "Hilda, and she's like, "I don't remember marrying a frog." It's like, "Oh, sweet Cid." Once you're back at Limblom, Cid is finally like, "Hey, look, man, you got to turn me back into a human. It just has to happen. I'm tired of being a Oglop and a frog." And she's basically explaining to Kuja, he was basically just talking to her about his master plan, how he was just trying to, as we already kind of know, just obtain as much destructive power as possible. But at least he wasn't a skirt chaser like you.
Yeah, exactly. And what's really funny
Burn.
about this, I know, seriously. And what's so funny about this too is that she's like, "Okay, I'll change you back, but you know, if you do that kind of stuff again, if you're still chasing skirts and all that stuff, I'm gonna turn you into much worse." And then she's like, "Maybe I'll turn you into a hedgehog pie." And he's just like, "No." You know, it's just funny dialogue.
I
Don't
just
hate the
thought,
player.
dude, that was savage though, man. It's like, oh, we got this megalomaniac who kills and destroys literally everything he touches, but at least he's not a skirt chaser.
I know, right?
It's like, gosh,
Seriously.
okay.
She's hating on him, man.
Yeah, totally. And so she does turn him back, and so we finally get to see what Cid actually looks like as a human. He's very prominent, and that mustache is even more glorious.
Got the
And
mustache,
just some last little funny things with that is he's still saying guac and ribbit, even though he's not, he's a
The
human,
best
he's
part about this, he's got like going back and forth too. It's like something, 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 guac. And then next thing it'd be like ribbit. It's so funny. I love it.
It is hysterical. And well, that's where we're gonna end it because it's gonna surprise you all, but it's about to open up again in the open world, and we oh gosh, have even more to get to. But as I said, that will do it for this episode. We thank you all so much for listening and hanging out with us as we progress the story. We are getting very close to the end, and so I know many of you are starting to get excited. We are going to be going to Final Fantasy X next. So we still have some episodes here, but that is in the horizon, and we are both super excited about that as well.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, the Final Fantasy X posts on Instagram too get a lot of attention. You guys seem to really enjoy it. So we're looking
Yes.
forward to getting into that, and it's going to be fun.
It
It's going to be a
is.
lot of good times.
Yes, and we might have a little side things in the works too involving Final Fantasy X. So maybe some more info on that later as we kind of work it out. But as I said, thank you all for hanging out. Make sure you stop off on our Instagram. Same handle, Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. We just post all the media. You know, that's essentially all it is. It's just nonstop, always Final Fantasy media is what it is. And so it's a lot of fun because we like to take the screenshots and the clips, you know, of things that we generally found to be very entertaining or, you know, serious or whatever it is. And so it's just kind of cool doing that. And also make sure you stop off at our website, FinalStopForFinalFantasyTalks.com. Just a little more info there. You can listen to the episodes there. You can check out the blog posts, listen to some of the songs and stuff that we use during the episode. So kind of just a little extra bit for you. Well, that'll do it for us. We'll see you next time. I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks.